from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 280. 280 episodes. We are live tonight here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Myself, my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong, will be joining momentarily. Good show this evening. We're going to talk NFL. We've got the NFL Week 14 in the books. We've got 4 weeks left in the regular season before the playoffs, and it is a very, very full. There's 26 teams that are within at least two games of a playoff spot. So it is definitely heating up in the NFL playoff race. We've got news and notes from around the league to talk. We've got Colts game against the Bengals recap. We got Steelers Patriots. We got the preview for Colts and Steelers this weekend. We're going to talk that. We've got NBA news and notes, the Indiana Pacers. They had the in-season tournament playoffs, semifinals, and finals the other night against the Lakers. So myself and John will talk that. News and notes from around just the association itself. Pacers looking possibly for trade targets, looking for a second wing player to their pair with Tyrese Halliburton. So we'll talk that. And we'll talk the craziness that is Mr. Draymond Green, who just cannot seem just to play night with others on his team, not on his team. But we've got news and notes from around the sports world itself. John Rahm deciding to go to live, getting that big money deal. We've got Ohtani. He's got that big money deal. He's going to stay in Los Angeles this time, just go across the way to the Dodgers. And we got some news and notes just in general. So can't start the show, though, without my guy, Jonathan Birdsong here. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. I came in on telling your conversation, man. That's right, money is flowing. And between some of these, some of the other sports leagues that we don't necessarily call it cover, man. But yeah, good to be back on, man. So let's dive right into it, man.
Yeah, let's dive right in. Let's see, where do I want to go first? Oh, here we go. It's a wrap. I mean, I've been going for some time now. I told you last week, when you lost to the Arizona Cardinals, who were 2-10, that it is DEFCON 5 or 1, whatever the strongest is. If you lose to the New England Patriots, who were 2-10, and you are at home. Well, newsflash, John. Patriots beat Steelers 21-18. There's strife in the locker room, as I told you. Players aren't getting it. People pissed off. Mitch can't throw a football. If his life depended on him, the defense picked it up in the second half. John, just ugly, ugly, ugly Steelers season continues. More bullshit in the locker room after this game. Tomlin kind of gave the old statement that he gave 3 years ago, John, that it is December, and after the two losses here, that they plan to come out and unleash hell, whatever the hell that means. Was that mean Mitch Trubisky is going to complete 12 passes? They play the Colts this weekend, John. I'll be at the game, unfortunately, right, on Saturday. For this one, mm-hmm, to watch the Mitch Trubisky 4.0 project. Just a complete hot mess. Ben Roethlisberger came out on his podcast yesterday, said is the Steelers tradition done? Is it done? Is it over? His quote was, there's nobody in that locker room to hold together the traditions, whether it be on offense or defense. Who's grabbing somebody by the face mask and saying, this is not what we do. This is not what we do. All the crap that we're doing wrong. There's nobody that's holding that accountable. It's not a coach. It's not a player on the offensive side. Not on the defensive side, John. You're 7-6. You lost to Arizona. You crapped the schedule. You lost to the Patriots, and on Friday, I was like, yep, that's a wrap. Here's the thing, John. If you look at it, everybody that's around you lost. Houston lost. Indianapolis lost. You know, you're one game back of Cleveland and Joe Flacco, who had a hell of a game. But you are tied now. You're back in the sixth in the playoffs. You're ahead of the Colts on the tiebreaker, at least through this week. But Steelers, Colts, Texans, Broncos, Bengals, and Bills are all tied at 7-6. Two spots, and there's one, two, three, six teams. There's no room for an error for Pittsburgh. They have the toughest schedule of the six teams left in the league, so that doesn't help. But I don't know, John. I told you I was going to be pissed off even more if you lost to the Patriots. And guess what? I saw nothing that showed that we wanted to go in there and win that game. We sucked again, 4th-and-2, and you're throwing a bomb to Deontay Johnson, who has trouble catching a football already. Nobody's holding anybody accountable. I'm looking ahead, John. I sent you a couple texts. I've seen some mentions on Twitter and everything. Like, did the Steelers look at Jaden Daniels? Did they look at Bo Nix? I mean, you got to push the competition for Kenny Pickett, I feel like.
Right. Well, like I said, I think that was kind of going to be already kind of set in play quarterback evaluation, especially if the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't make a playoff push this year. Because, again, you know what I mean, you have a young quarterback, and I get it, there's you know, high criticism on him, but, like, the main thing that you want your young quarterback that you said is that you stamped is, like, how can we get reps out here? So, again, though, Brandon, you know what? Even with him being out and being injured, man, and you know what I'm saying, probably we chunk to the season, man, because this ain't the first time he's been out, right? I still thought the Pittsburgh Steelers had a better quarterback room than anybody else. Mason Rudolph, Trubisky's won games. Trubisky got booed out the stadium, man. I don't even know how the hell he's going to – they got him starting again.
He sucked.
You know
he's going to suck this week.
Well, yeah,
John,
you never know,
He will get pulled for Mason Rudolph this week. Mark my words.
Well, you know the coach got their own – well, I got you. Well, you know the coach got their own problem, so as far as like running the ball and all that. So, you know what I'm saying, who knows kind of how that's going to look – you know what I'm saying? Realistically, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? I expect a kind of close game, you know what I'm saying, this weekend. Of course, the Colts will beat off the crowd and all that. But again,
Colts are favored by 2.5.
Yeah, Colts, like I said, you know, the disparity. Jonathan Taylor ain't out there. The Colts can't run the ball. You know what I mean? And they get asking Gardner Minshew to go out here and win games, man. That could never have been anybody's, you know, top of mind playing that quarterback. I mean, Gardner Minshew is a game manager. We know this, man. He's good. But then in that Cleveland game, you know what I'm saying, they just won. I mean, excuse me, they lost, man. Again, he looked pedestrian. He looked like, you know what I'm saying, that Jacksonville Jaguar team that did barely won, you know, did they win a game when he was starting, you know what I mean? So, but no, man,
running game's not going. Is there a chance that Zach Moss just, he's getting too many reps and he's tiring down as the season ends?
Well, he had a lot of negative yardage.
Again,
Brandon, like, you know what I'm saying, that's the reason why Jonathan Taylor is special. The difference maker, you know what I'm saying? I think, I don't necessarily have, you know what, Brandon, like, you talk about, I mean, I was talking about evaluation of the Colts. The Steelers and their quarterback. The Colts got to evaluate their offensive line this offseason, don't they? You know what I mean? They do. They, you know what I'm saying? They kind of feel good about what they have. And I do, what they having a coach. You know what I'm saying? He's kind of cold and callous. He's got a lot to learn still. And then you ain't got to go for it every time on fourth down, little brother. You can kick away or you can go for the field goal. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. But, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Shane Steichen I think he's a good calculating coach. You know what I'm saying? I think this, you see what they have in him, but like he wants football players out there on the field. He wants the best part so that he can, I think he feels like he can coach whatever kind of style. I think that's proven, Brandon. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you want the quarterback that can pull and run, you know what I'm saying? He can win with that style. He's proven that even before he got here as an OC in Philadelphia. And he's proven that he can win with a quarterback that can air kind of, you know, I'm not going to say Gardner Minshew can air it out, but we know Gardner Minshew don't have the wiggles that you know what I'm saying, that Anthony Richardson has. So again, man, you know, that's kind of what the Colts are kind of looking at. That's what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. I think you're looking at two teams kind of looking at the Colts have a better looking mirror. Their mirror isn't as smoggy or as, you know, smutty as you know, because Pittsburgh is just like descending, right? And the Colts have kind of been up and down. So, hey, man, I don't necessarily think it's still gloom and doom, man. They do have for either team, right? And you know, I know you paint the picture of like there's gonna be a different tapestry on the wall in the off season, potentially at the coach position, and definitely, you know, around the ancillary parts. If they do go with Kenny Pickett, it's another staff approval for him. They'll definitely have some different parts around him. You know what I'm saying? But no, man, this is gonna be. I know you're gonna be at the game, in attendance at the game this weekend. I think it's gonna be a pretty good game, man. Where it's gonna be close.
Playoff game, basically.
And 2 points, man. You know, so like, you know, with Ben Roethlisberger calling out, hey, that sounds like he called out, you know what I'm saying, Lil Wyatt. That would be the leader of the team at this point, wouldn't it be?
Watt, yeah. Yeah, he's T.J. Watt practiced today. You know, he was in concussion protocol, which I think the Steelers are going to get fined because he took that headshot on the very first play Thursday night, went over to the sideline, came back in, changed his visor. You only change your visor, really, if it's too lights are a little too bright. And he said, no, he was just having, he didn't like what he had on, allegedly. Went back out, and then next thing you know, on Monday, he was in a concussion protocol. So he practice reports that came out for today for the Colts, some notables. Juju Brents was in practice full. Zaire Franklin practice full. Speed, EJ Speed practice full. DeForest Buckner was limited with his back. Jonathan Taylor and Braden Smith, your tackle, did not practice. Braden Smith has not practiced this week. If you're going to be without your tackle, John, and you've got T.J. Watt on an end, I think that's a little bit of an advantage for Pittsburgh there with T.J. being able to go after these Colts quarterbacks, as they've done over the last couple years. For Pittsburgh, obviously no Pickett. He's not playing. Deontay Johnson did not practice today. Najee practiced in full. Alex Highsmith is limited with a concussion. He could be back, but T.J. was back full. Cam Hayward was full. So those are your injury reports going into Thursday. Remember, this game is Saturday, so everything's pushed up a day. 4:30, Lucas Oil will be rocking. Both teams are basically 6th and 7th in the playoffs. The winner increases their chance for the playoffs. The loser significantly loses it. But I think looking on the Colts side of it, John, you know, you've got C.J. Stroud, who's dealing with a concussion as well. Houston lost a bad game to the Jets. So that week 18 game against them is going to be huge. You had a chance to move up on Jacksonville with their loss, on the weekend, and you couldn't capitalize on that, unfortunately. With the Browns winning, now they've moved up into there, but Colts are still sitting, one game back. They could have been technically tied for the division lead if they would have won.
Right. Man, and who knew, man? Who knew the AFC South wasn't going to totally suck this year, man? Will Levis showed a little flash. They're almost dead in the water, man, during that game against Miami. And that's kind of a question mark. That's really a question mark on Miami because that's like a game that –
Frauds.
You know, the Miami – I won't necessarily pick on – well, I won't necessarily – Brandon, they got a fraud. They trending in that fraudulent category.
Fraud. Just stop.
But I was kind of going to also loop them, sort of. In the Detroit Lions, man. Again, you got to.
John, they haven't beaten a team that's won.
You got to beat. You're talking about the Dolphins, correct? They haven't beat a team that won with a winning record. Yeah. How far are we away from the 70-point rip? You know what I mean? Like, and Brandon, it's kind of on Tua, and some of the stigmatism. And I know, man. I'm saying Tua is a tough guy, and all those things. You know, he's gritted out. From Alabama, from his days as a quarterback in Alabama, excuse me. But like after the game, the comments, he was like, "Man, it's no." He was kind of saying like it was like no big deal that they lost this game to to an inferior football team, and it is a big deal because a lot of expectation and a lot of salary cap and the hell didn't they lose lottery picks. You know what I'm saying? For tampering and all those things, trying to get Tom Brady, and you saying it's not a big deal. They finally find a quarterback guru for him, And like I kind of look at Dallas. Excuse me, right? See, I kind of look at the Miami Dolphins as once proud organization, Brandon Reeve. They used to be like that, Brandon. Where the fandom still down there in Florida is still crazy about football, right? Don't get it twisted. But like it used to be with the Miami Dolphins, man. Hey, they wanted to get to the playoffs, so because like they went to the season and you know what I'm saying, regular season, and won all the games, and they went to playoffs. You know, historically, they're on the team. They ain't the blue bloods no more. And with him saying something like that, and even with, and I get it, man, the wide out, man, I get it. I texted my wife, but I went back in. That's cool, man. He's trying to get cool points, the MVP cool points. We get it, man. And Brandon, he's not necessarily out of my top three of MVP, but, like, come on, man. You said it, Brandon. They haven't beat a winning team.
What about what happened today? There's a problem down in Miami after today. John, they had a players-only meeting today.
Uh-oh. You know that's weird.
As somebody said, a famous person once said, if you're having players-only meetings in December, it does not bode well for you in the playoffs. And they're up two games in the division, John, and they're still having players-only meetings. There's some feelings that got hurt.
This yeah, probably so. Like I said, man, Tua didn't really, like own up to it. And like I said, man, I think Tyreek really is feeling like MVP, the MVP race is – kind of at this point, Dak Prescott's to lose it, and analytic podcasters like you and I, we all know at some point Dak Prescott is going to piss so hard down his leg.
Whoa!
You know what I'm saying, it's going to, Brent, y'all know it's going to happen.
I think more piss in Tua than Dak.
Well, I'm saying Tua's not in the conversation for MVP. I'm just saying, as far as MVP, I'm not saying the wideout is. Tyreek, he's in conversation for MVP. Their wideout is in conversation. Like, the kids, like, he's putting up these fantastic numbers, and rightfully so to have his conversation. But, like, Brent, they ain't beat nobody. And they haven't still ascended to, like, okay, we got them, you know, where people can kind of peg them. Like, yeah, man, their division is weak as hell. Like, the fools, Aaron Rodgers still trying to come back. That's how crazy. Well, I know this, and you know this, and the doctors, you know, saying they really, you know, that no.
He's already kind of ruled it out. He ruled it out on Friday.
But I'm saying, outside of that, Zach Wilson, he had a great, you know, saying the Hulk 'em up kind of game the other night. Like but we've seen the Buffalo Bills, they spiraled out of control. Like the Miami Dolphins should have had, like you said, two games. They should have had at least four. In between them and you know what I'm saying, and their second, I'm assuming it's Buffalo. So I know we're talking about Belichick here in a little bit and New England here in a little bit, but like nah, man, the Miami Dolphins, they're not a blue blood no more. I'm sorry,
frauds.
Oh,
how far do you trust them? Do you trust them in the playoffs?
Win a game, maybe at home. Yeah, if it's on the road, no, you don't. Not
Let
now.
Me ask you this. Of your team, here's your teams right now. This is as of right now.
Uh-huh.
Miami, can they beat the Colts?
In a playoff game, they could, because it'll be there, not here yet.
Can Miami beat Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Can they beat Cleveland?
It's going to be tough, man. But, yes, I think they can beat Cleveland.
Jacksonville.
That is... I don't, because they played already. I thought they played, maybe not this year. I'm going to say no. I would favor Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville just needs to get better. They need to get healed up.
Kansas City.
No. Yeah, and I know Kansas City's limping and all that, and they're trying to figure out, like, what the hell's going on. Do they really miss Airbnb? Is Taylor Swift causing all these problems? I don't think, don't come after us, but I don't, it has nothing to do with Taylor Swift, or it might have something to do more with that Airbnb's play calling not being there around there anymore. And they don't necessarily have the cachet of playmakers anymore. But like, no, man, they can't be, no.
Baltimore.
Not Kansas City, no. So, Baltimore's got a little bit better, man. It'd be probably closer. I still wouldn't edge them in the game against Baltimore.
Okay. There's one team that somewhat scares me a little bit, John, that's not in the playoffs currently right now. They are the 11th. Right now they're 11th in the conference. I think Buffalo could sneak in, and I could see them running a couple games. Because they have the players, the pedigree that they need to make a playoff
right.
run. The defense is not as trustworthy, but I think if they can get in, and that's all you need to do is get in. If they can get in as a 7 seed and they go to play at Miami, they can very easily beat Miami in Miami.
Right. Well, we know they can put points. And they kind of already went through their, you know what I'm saying, look in the mirror moment. Or like, you know what I'm saying, their dysfunctional moments. You know what I mean? But
hey, John, can you enlighten the people? Can you please enlighten the people? Kadarius Toney was a mile offsides. A mile.
Brandon,
there was no question.
The NFL, they want the NBA calls?
This dude is costing his team how many times this year? At least
that
I know of.
I mean, Patrick, you know, future Hall of Famer, he's been kind of flawless. Handling media.
He acted like a baby Monday night. I was not impressed.
That wasn't good, man. And then his wife, too. Come on,
She's batshit crazy already herself, so.
Oh!
She is. One day we'll do a podcast just on batshit crazy Brittany Mahomes. We'll talk about it. But no, the way he acted like an asshole with Josh Allen. That kind of upset me. What, Josh didn't do anything wrong. And how many times has Josh had to come face you at the middle of the field after a tough loss? I know at least two in the playoffs. And you're going to go and act like a jackass like that? I'm telling you, man, this Chiefs team, these Chiefs players, you know, you get cute for a bit when you win championships and everybody loves you and your commercials and this and that. But there's a moment, John, where it turns on every dynasty or every good team. It happened with the Warriors. It's going to happen with this Chiefs team, man. I saw it. Patty Mahomes is starting to do a little heel turn and turn to that villain.
Because
the way he acted with that.
Right, because he's whining for calls, man. Yeah, and nobody wants to.
You get calls all the time. You're Patrick Mahomes.
Sidearm that shit.
Right? Last thing I had on the Dolphins is the Dolphins will go as far as Tyreek Hill's body will let him. If Tyreek Hill's hurt in that wild card game or whatnot, it's a wrap. Okay? Because we've already seen Jaden Waddle can't stay healthy. Tyreek can't stay healthy. If that's the case, I don't care what you put out there. Miami, it'll be done if Tyreek Hill is not healthy.
Well, that's what he's trying to say, that he deserves to be MVP, man. But, again, man, like they got to start winning some games against some important people.
I called this out the other day, John, and I'm going to say it to you now, that it was a must-win game. It was a must-win. You had to have it. But, damn it, how about them Cowboys? How about them Cowboys? Beat the Eagles by 20. Just thumped them.
Again, man, that kind of just slid Dak Prescott into the MVP lead for darn sure. I can't trust it, man. Not at all, man.
You can't trust Dak yet still? Or Mike McCarthy?
Nah. Mike McCarthy's going to be sidelined, ain't he?
He'll be all right. One other quick game. We'll take a call after we do this next game, John. Bears-Lions. Lions, man. Went to Chicago, laid that egg. They're 9-4 now. Bears, sneaky. Playoff hunt still, 5-8.
Nah, everybody. The Bears, sneaky. Listen, I don't want to disrespect anybody listening to the show from the 219 area in Gary, Indiana, or anybody listening to the show from Chicago or Chicagoland, or anybody, you know what I mean, Evanston down there, you know what I'm saying, the good folks, Evanston, Illinois, you know, in all parts in between, but like, nah, man, this Bears team, that was a good win because, think about it, Brandon, remember the last time they drew blood, a horse, you know what I'm saying, against the Bears, and the Bears, you know what I mean, They didn't cross the cross the finish line. They could have won the game or was up and didn't finish the game. That was kind of, dude. They made sure and they Brandon, like the what is the, really the like the lone good point on the Detroit Lions defense other side, outside of Hutchinson? You know what I'm saying? The kid from Michigan. What's the line, man? And then even his stats don't necessarily like wow, he's just rocks. He's just solid, right? Like what really is like explosive on that side of the ball for the I'm not picking on them. It has gotten better from the like last three seasons that they, you know what I'm saying, since the takeover. But like, nah, man. A game Detroit Lions should have put together, should have won to put distance themselves, especially in the division, to give themselves some breathing room. And it makes people believe in them a little bit more. Give themselves, hey, man, y'all deserve to be NFC contenders. And right now, we got to put them in the pretender file.
John, I got to know your thoughts, man. Tommy Cutlets. Tommy Cutlets and the Giants.
I'm not thinking about that, man. Giants, I'm not be paying attention to that, man. That's,
Tommy Cutlets? He's taking the world by storm. Jeremy Lin style.
I guess they stop it. I guess they got a good third stringer quarterback. They still gonna have to draft another one. You know that.
The disrespect for Tommy Cutlets. Did you see his agent in the mafia suit with the pinstripes?
Man, my goodness, that was priceless, wasn't it? Yeah, I saw that. That's crazy.
John, his dad owns a plumbing business. Full Italians, full Italians. His dad owns a plumbing business, and on their commercial on their website, they're dressed as Mario and Luigi. I mean, if that doesn't scream Italian, I don't know what.
Nice.
We'll get your chicken cutlets from there. But, hey, I love it. I love it. Let the Italian flow. Let the mafia go. Danny Dimes, see ya. Give me Tommy Cutlets out there. Slinging it. I'd peg him for the Steelers at this point. Shit. Because you know what? Daboll said something that Mike Tomlin never would. Hey, I gave him three or four plays, and I said, go out there and sling it around. Shit, you know how many times I wish they'd let Kenny sling it around? I know Mitch ain't scared to sling it. Shit, how many interceptions have I seen so far? Me? Let's take a call real quick.
Yeah.
Off-road sports, who we got?
You got the one and only, Mr. This is Justin. I have a question for Mr. Brandon.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I hear your thoughts again just on those Steelers and the Ravens? I think me and you had a conversation to begin the year. Is there anything you want to say to me at this time?
Yeah, we won the first head-to-head, and I feel pretty good going into a Week 18 game. If you guys can just bench all your starters since you'll have the one seed wrap.
Your offense got to put something together, and your defense got to show up.
Not with Mitch. Not with Mitch. Mitch is terrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Justin Fox from the Epic Podcast. Don't let nobody fool you. This is not just a regular caller.
No, no, no. I knew the number when I saw it. I said, God, let's take this call. I knew it was coming.
That's great, man. That's great. Well,
but like not. Go ahead, man.
No, I did have one question, though. So, in all actuality, do you think Pittsburgh is going to get one of those wild card spots?
No.
No?
No.
You think the Colts have a better chance?
I do. Of the six teams that are left, the Steelers have the toughest schedule of those teams, and they only have one home game left combined. So I think it's a must-win, obviously, against the Colts this weekend, if you really want to give it a chance, even though, I mean, what's getting you in the playoffs going to do? It's going to get you a date with Miami or Kansas City, which you've been blown out those other times in the playoffs for that. But you have to pray that you can beat Indianapolis and Indy, and then you got to take on that Seattle team, which I know they're sinking right now. But like I said, it all comes down to the end of the season. I think Baltimore, if they bench their starters and rest them week 18, that's about the only hope they have.
That's fair. And I don't think they're going to do that. I think it's, if anything, Baltimore will play at least a half. But, you know, the history behind some of those teams, when starters don't play for that week, then you got a bye week, and then you come back. I just can't see Baltimore doing that.
On our show the last couple of weeks, I've been talking, because Pittsburgh Sports Radio has been a lot on, because there's no extension yet for Mike Tomlin either. So I said, I think you at least explore what trade opportunities you can get for Tomlin, kind of like they did Sean Payton. You got a first round and a second round for Payton. Tomlin, there's some teams that would that you could possibly get some draft compensation out of. It's been 17 years. At some point, it's going to have to be it because you've year by year started to kind of lose the locker room. They're getting away with their things. They don't give a shit, as we've seen. But it's just that those players are not listening. As Tomlin or as Roethlisberger said, I think the Steelers' tradition, the Steeler way, is dead because nobody's holding anybody accountable.
That's fair. That's fair. But I definitely think it'd be a market for Tomlin if they do decide to part ways. I definitely think there's going to be a market for him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, I'd even if we get rid of Tomlin, we trade him. Just bring in Jim Harbaugh. Then we got Harbaugh versus Harbaugh for the division. Who wouldn't want to see that?
Can I be honest? I would hate that because Jim, as much slack as people give him, or not slack, I'm sorry, as much grief as they give Jim Harbaugh, the guy can coach. I don't care if you like him or not, but the dude can coach. So yeah. I'm not a fan of you guys getting him, if I'm being honest with you. If you did, I definitely understand it.
Justin, let me ask you this. Your guys' schedule is pretty tough to finish. At Jacksonville, at the Niners, versus the Dolphins, and then against Pittsburgh. What's your thoughts as the Ravens season comes to end, down to the end? They're 10-3. They're up in the division or the conference.
Honestly, I want to see. I'm not worried about. I'm not so much worried about Jacksonville, especially with Trevor Lawrence being hobbled. I just think since we're able to generate the pressure we do, that's going to be able to throw them off. So I'm not as concerned with them, even though the Ravens' offense has been up and down. The game that I'm very curious to see, though, is the Niners game because of how San Francisco has been able to dominate teams. I want to see where our defense stacks up against that offense and that zone run scheme that they're running. And then, to be honest with you, how do we hold up against that pass rush? You know, we've seen weeks where they're dropping Lamar back 30-plus times. I want to see what that offensive line, how that holds up against that type of pass rush.
Yeah. Yep.
My God, they mess around, go 2-1 the next three games, then Lamar's name comes back up in the MVP list.
Hey.
Honestly, I think it already has.
I said it before the season in our conversation, Lamar for MVP.
Yep, I told you Super Bowl, and I said Lamar MVP, and I definitely think Lamar has a chance. The crazy thing about it is, after this last game, because I was so upset they ended up having to go into overtime anyway, I looked at Lamar's numbers, and although he doesn't have, like, a ton of touchdowns per se, it's crazy to think, like, even with what he's doing, he's very likely to put up over 3,500 yards, maybe even hit 4,000, and rush for another 1,000 in the NFL. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's 16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's through for 2,900 yards. He's 7th in passing yards right now, 8th in passing touchdowns. You look at rushing, it's probably going to take some time for it to show up. But, I think he's doing it, man. And your team's winning, your first place. I think for Baltimore's success as well, they need to get that home field. They really do.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I actually think that in terms of them really making a run this year and getting out of the, okay, we lose in the first round, or, hey, we lose after, you know, the one victory and really making a push for the conference championship game, I really do think they need that home field. I just think that environment can be very electric for them in the playoffs. And with the way that they're built this year, it really could go a long way for them. So I think the home field is very important, which is why I think they got to play out the rest of the season.
Lamar Jackson, 3rd right now on DraftKings for MVP at plus 475. Dak Prescott plus 150. Brock Purdy plus 185. And then Lamar at 475. So
there's no way Brock Purdy.
There's no way. Yeah, I was going to say, I can't – like for me, if I'm being honest, I think – it's Christian McCaffrey before Brock Purdy even on that team.
Yeah, he's been a monster.
He's been that offense in every way. So right. I don't get that. I definitely don't get that. And then the other player, I know you guys have probably talked about it, but I said if Tyreek Hill really does, you know, crack the 2,000 yards plus, he has to be considered. I mean, you're talking about he's going to be setting an NFL record. How do you not consider him for MVP?
Yeah, right. He's fifth right now at plus 1,600. But, here's the weird thing. But he's first at minus 220 for Offensive Player of the Year. So how does a quarterback who's also an offense, they don't match up. The odds don't match up on either one.
No, but I'm not surprised by that.
Just the Fox, I don't know if your time is short or long, man. Again, I want to wish you happy holidays, and thanks for calling in. And just to tie Brandon a little bit. But, like, the last 3 weeks has gone football crazy, man, with the college, you know what I'm saying, that mess, and even with the NBA in-season tournament, that kind of took us, to the headlines, man. But the last 3 weeks of boxing has been electric, man. I know Oscars has a lot of fighters, or has some fighters out here, winning and swagging it out, as they used to say. But there's a new kid. What's his name? David. I don't think he's an Oscar fighter, but I know Oscar had a fighter that won a fight. But there's a new kid on the bike named David Benavidez. Yeah, I know I messed up everybody's name. Benavidez. they trying to get. They're not trying to get him to fight like anybody like a Garcia or Davis or anybody significant yet. Gisardi.
Benavidez is actually he's been trying to fight Canelo, and a lot of people have said that may be one fight Canelo stays away from. Because that's a young guy who's hungry, and they call him the Mexican Monster for a reason. He wears guys out, and he packs. I mean, the guy he can punch. He can punch. So he's been impressive. He's been very impressive, and I think he has to get a big fight, Nick. I just don't know who it's going to be against because I don't know that Canelo's going to take that fight. But he deserves a big fight. He really does.
Who in like the last 3 weeks has kind of caught your eye? What's this guy? What's his name? Romy Rorello. I don't miss his name.
Yeah, he's the clown of boxing. Rolly Romero.
Oh.
He's is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
He's what I say the clown of boxing. He can't really box. He's powerful. Like he has so like if he gets a clean shot on you, he can put anybody down, but he's not a boxer. For me, honestly, I was very shocked at how poorly Shakur Stevenson performed in his fight.
Uh-huh.
That was probably one of the bigger surprises for me. And then after that, I would probably say I was impressed with Devin Haney, and I'm not a big Devin Haney person, but the way that he was able to control Regis Prograis this past weekend, I would have to say I was actually very impressed with what he brings. Now, the question I think what most people want to see is Haney has to fight somebody, and I get it. A lot of people say, oh, he has, and what I mean by that is he needs to fight a Teofimo Lopez. He needs a Teofimo Lopez. He needs a Gervonta Davis. He needs a Shakur Stevenson. He needs a name like that, I think, for people to finally respect him. Because even myself, I'll be honest, I'm not overly impressed with Devin Haney, although the last outing was impressive. I want to see it against one of those guys. You know what I'm saying? And I think the boxing world wants to see that fight.
Yeah.
So
man,
the rumor
is potentially
you can see Ryan Garcia in the ring.
Eventually.
Eventually. But they're saying that they're not going to be able to keep pushing off some of those fights. Otherwise, it's going to backfire where, you know, a lot of times they say, oh, I want to build the fight up. Well, you have fans who have been looking for some of these fights for some period of time. They could miss that window of maximizing on their money if they continue to push it back too far. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe next year you see something of significance for Haney.
I know the last couple times you've been on here, me and Brandon kind of figured out, like, how can boxing, where can they find his lane? They've got to figure out where to put a prime fight where the NFL and the NBA ain't got nothing going on. And it's a date. There's dates on the schedule. And primarily, man.
Saturday nights.
Saturday nights, man. Primarily, like, they can own that. But they got to put out. But you said it, man. The fighters got to fight one another, and they can't get one another.
Yep. And they're losing out. A lot of what they're losing out on is because of how Dana White runs the UFC. There is no ducking. He's gonna put who he wants to fight against each other. You know what I'm saying? So, like, boxing has to get back where you got to get rid of some of these promoters and promotional companies and how they're getting in the way of making some of these fights, and they got to get down to, you know, hey, fighters got to fight. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it. Last time we talked, I think we mentioned Frank Martin. Well, ain't nobody heard from Frank Martin since he turned down the Shakur fight, and you wonder why. I think he may have overvalued himself. I don't think he's as valuable as he thought he was. So boxing's moving on without him. So now the question is, okay, so who are you fighting? You know, who are you fighting now? Because Shakur was your biggest name. You could fight at that weight division, no question. You turn that down, so where do you go from there? You know, I think guys got to just start fighting.
We're going to next time one of us hit the lottery, we're going to become boxing promoters. And start promoting on Saturdays. I start Saturdays, man. But, like, hey, Jeff, thanks for calling in, man.
I got one question for him.
Oh, you got one more? Go ahead, Brent.
Yeah, we've been talking fighting and everything. Justin, you're the NBA commissioner. How many games are you suspending Draymond Green for that dumbassery?
Oh, man. Oh, I'll be honest. My initial reaction was the rest of the season. I'll be honest with you. Because, I'm just sick of his antics, man. I'm not a Draymond guy anyway. But, like, people try to defend his actions, and it's a bunch of stupidity. So I said, to me, I don't think you do anything less than 30 games. I mean, you got to think, this is the second infraction in the same season.
Yeah.
You know, you got to send a strong message.
His apology was half-assed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because guess what? People have, whether it's Steve Kerr and some of these people, for so long he's used to people making excuses for him for how he behaves. Oh, he's passionate. Yeah. He's protecting his teammates. Nah, man, get away from the excuses. The reality is he's becoming a bit of a clown. That's just the reality. He's becoming a bit of a clown, and the NBA needs to act accordingly.
Yep, 100%.
Because last night was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
That's crazy. His own player held up his hands on the bench like, what the hell are you doing? Like,
yeah.
And he said, oh, I was just turning. I got hooked. What do you mean you just turned and you didn't mean to hit him? I mean, come on, man. He's got to be suspended for some. Hey, if Ron Artest can get suspended for what he got going in the stands and Jermaine can punch out a fan, I mean, let's put Draymond out there. And, you know, here's the thing. I think that Warriors team, they're done. They're done, you know. And Shams reported today that Clay Thompson's contract, they had a two-year, $48 million extension on the table for him. Shams said that's off the table now.
I wouldn't pay. That's the thing. Like, they should have traded Clay 2-3 years ago. I actually said that, even though it wasn't popular. They missed their window to trade him and get value back. Let's just be honest. He's not very impressive, and now that he's not hitting some of those very tough shots that he was hitting, now it just looks like he's shooting a bunch of bad shots. So now you're starting to get frustrated by his shot selection. So I don't know what he thinks he's going to get from another team. Maybe somebody will overpay, but 2 years, 48, to me, that's very generous for his production.
Very generous, right?
Totally agree. So, awesome. Well, Justin, thanks for calling in, my man. It was as soon as I saw your number pop up, I said, "Oh shit, here we go."
No, I appreciate it as always, guys, man. Love listening to the show, and I appreciate you taking my call.
No problem. Have a good rest of your night.
Take care, guys.
See ya. Man, John, that was always good to hear from Justin on several of the topics we always like to talk with him about. Give me your thoughts, John, on Draymond. I know you did a little reel today or whatever it was and had a little snippet of it, but
it was 100%
uncalled for, man.
Yeah, just want to iterate some of the same. Like, I like hard play. I like the enforcer. I like the dude that says, hey, man, this ain't going to happen. Hey, man, you're not going to touch my guy. Hey, man, you know what I mean? But, like, I don't want to see nobody get mauled. Like, what did Nurkic do? Like, was he beating you that bad up? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Inside that you couldn't get position on him or whatever, man. So that's not even kind of. That is very classless. I consider, you know what I'm saying, Draymond Green one of the top basketball players with that, you know what I'm saying, we consider this his era. He won top winningness. I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying, he's the best. I'm talking top winningness. Basketball players that we've seen in like the last, 10, 11, 12 years. And like, you know what I'm saying, when he speaks, he talks, you know what I mean, you know what I'm saying, open and honest. Like, you can, you know what I mean, you can respect that. But the things that he does, the chokehold, punching out teammates, and now again, you know what I'm saying, uncalled for. Like, you can't respect that. And, you know, at all. Can't respect it at all.
No. I mean, I woke up to it. I said, what the hell? What the hell just happened last night? And
in a pivotal game, you playing against the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah. No Durant?
You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, no Durant. I think Bill played.
Now they're all three Bill playing tonight, finally.
Yeah.
The triplets are playing tonight.
Game, man. Maybe he just needs a break. Send him home, Golden State.
Well, he's about to get a big break, so here soon. Indiana Pacers, John, went to the semifinals, took on Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. They beat Milwaukee. Milwaukee has a little inner scuffle between themselves. Bobby Portis speaking out. Adrian Griffin may not be the guy, the head coach, which I said that when they hired him as their head coach. But Pacers then go take on the Lakers, and it was an Olay layup line to during the game. Miles Turner, complete no-show. Anthony Davis could get any basket. Anthony Davis looked like a first ballot, let's not wait how many years, let's go ahead and put you in the Hall of Fame now type of performance in that game, John. Very frustrating as a Pacers fan, but you got to look big picture. This team wasn't expected to do this. That I was happy to see they get the experience. Pacers got the exposure they wanted. They didn't fall flat on their face. They didn't embarrass themselves. I call it a win-win. And they came out Monday night against Detroit and won on a game that I said you cannot come out and fall flat on your face after this in-season tournament and say, well, it was kind of an aftershock for us. So I was happy with both.
Yeah, hey man, I just like seeing the new, like, you know what I'm saying, shop around the city during this holiday. I like seeing the new jerseys everybody's rocking, the Indiana Pacers jerseys, man. People like it, man. I know they left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, the Lakers winning it. And Anthony Davis and LeBron kind of just had like a regular game. He didn't really go off, you know what I'm saying? But it was more so the Austin Reeves, the Anthony Davis show. Just didn't get the necessary push that we needed from all the parts from the Pacers, right? Poor performance by Miles Turner. Mather showed up. The homie was shooting air balls. McConnell was.
McDay, get it right. McTryhard. McTryhard. That's
the try hard. Oh no, that's what the Vegas calls it, man. But like nothing to tuck your tail in and hold your head about, man. This is more feel good kind of going on with the Pacers, man. There was just recently interview with the Tyrese sat down with Kevin Garnett. Now take it for what you will, folks, man. He sat down with Kevin Garnett, and Kevin Garnett was telling him how he should kind of embrace the small market experience and like how here in Indiana to be different, and how he compared it to like how he was in Minnesota and he was running with Stephon Marbury. And I'm like, man, Kevin Garnett saying all this crap and here he still left.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's about to embrace the small market. Hell, he still left, man. And hell, they did try to put a team around Kevin Garnett. He had a Latrell Sprewell. He had a Wally Szczerbiak. He had some other players. the experience. You know what I mean? But like, nah, man. So, but like, nah, it's real feel good moments, man. We the Pacers around here in Indy Park, they haven't had the success that, you know what I'm saying, that they want. I know we've been critical, at least I have personally, on the super, on the All Star that we have here, and he stepped up to the pallet. You can't just, I'm not saying you did, but you can't just cast aside. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks. They beat the Boston Celtics.
I don't know if they're going to win tonight, John. I think Milwaukee's going to be pissed off tonight.
You know what, Brandon? You talk about Patrick Mahomes being a bad guy. I'm not necessarily a fan of what some of the things that I've heard about Giannis or Damian Lillard. I think Damian Lillard is here to be. He's just here for a season, and he's going to be trying. Brandon, think about it. Why are they having so many problems? Who's the problem? They have two new additions to the team. They have a new coach, and they got a new Damian Lillard. And Damian Lillard don't defend like the homie that played for Boston now. And they don't have Grayson Allen out there defending on the wing no more. They don't. He's in Phoenix. So they got different. They got different defensive assignments. They got they didn't turn to an offensive team. So that's why they got. That's why they got to look in the mirror moments and team in like, hey, man, we don't know if this guy, man, come on, Milwaukee. They might win tonight, Brandon, but, hey, man, you know what? I'm proud of the Pacers, you know what I mean? And they need to see how far they can go with this young team, and after the season maybe address whatever they want to address. Because I know there's rumors about trades and whatnot, but, like, no, I think, you know what I'm saying, that was a real good moment for the Pacers, Tyrese Halliburton and everybody involved. I just, you know, I just ran into a freight train that was Anthony Davis and the Lakers.
Okay. Real quick, we got Decot on hold. We'll bring him on momentarily. John, they've released the 2024 SEC football schedule. It's been out. It's out now. Just released it about six minutes ago. Just looking at it real quick. Florida. The Gators better eat, and they better eat early, because they have a murderous row the final 5 weeks of the year. Their final five games of the year, John, coming off a bye, they have Georgia at the World Greatest Cocktail Bowl. Then they go to Texas. Then they take on LSU. Then they take on Ole Miss. And then they take on Florida State. That's the five games that Florida ends with. Georgia, they take on Clemson, Tennessee Tech, Kentucky, Alabama. They get Alabama after their bye week, so they get a week to prepare for Alabama. Auburn, okay. Mississippi State, Texas. Here's the funny thing with Texas. They play in Austin at Texas October 19th. That's the same weekend of the Formula One Grand Prix in Austin, same weekend. So there's going to be a lot of people not at that football game going to this damn Grand Prix. So Georgia got a little bit of a help there with that. Then they take on Florida, Ole Miss, Tennessee, UMass, and Georgia Tech to finish the season. Kentucky, John? Kentucky's got eight home games. Eight of their 12 games are at home. I don't know how that's possible, but I'm looking at it. Eight home games. Their only road games are at Texas, at Tennessee, at Florida, and at Ole Miss. That's it. So Kentucky's got a shot to make a little bit of noise. And Oklahoma, they play Temple, Houston, Tulane, home against Tennessee, at Auburn. Then they play Texas and Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. Home against South Carolina, at Ole Miss, home against Maine, at Missouri, and then they have a bye week, and then they play home against Alabama, and then at LSU to end the season.
That Missouri game going to be on fire, man, but, yeah, SEC football is going to be real interesting, but Florida looks like they're going to get pounded into oblivion.
They're going to get destroyed. As I said, they got to eat early because – they got Miami, Samford, Texas A&M, and Mississippi State. And then they have Central Florida, Tennessee. Huh?
They ain't going to eat early either. Miami's going to rebuild.
Texas A&M's got a new coach.
That Van Dyke kid and transferred to Wisconsin.
Everybody's transferring. You need to get your tickets ready real quick. You and Decott can get the tickets ordered. September 14th, Alabama goes north of the Mason-Dixon line, and they come up and play at Wisconsin.
Ooh. Ooh. On what day?
Alabama's at Wisconsin, September 14th.
Man, they ain't going to be coming up Wisconsin yet, man. Let me know when they do that, like in October. November, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When it's cheese, you know, when they got that cheese fest going on up there in Wisconsin, man, they're gonna roll Wisconsin. They're gonna have Badger meat.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and bring our guy on the. This guy, he's probably. I think he's with his work. I think he's got the second largest contract to Ohtani's $700 million deal. Let's bring on Decott. What's going on, Decott?
What up, fellas? Man, love it, man. Love the show. Hey, I know the time is tight. Want to hit on that Milwaukee thing real quick. One of the things I heard was that the writer that broke the story about having an issue with the coach is tight with Lillard, who's also tight with Stott. That's who they say broke the story. I forget the writer's name. But it was a big deal on NBA radio, XM86, a couple of mornings ago. So their he and Lillard are tight. Also, we all know that Stotts is tight with Lillard, and I didn't realize this. Stotts left the Bucks. I guess he and the coach had it out.
Worked there.
So he was brought in as lead assistant for a rookie coach. But you know, it's sort of like when they have Vogel in LA, right? Vogel in LA, when they had Kidd as his lead assistant. So Stotts left, and supposedly before locker room cleared out, man, the dude knew to have the story, and it was basically saying that the kid from Arkansas, I forget his name, tough guy, I like his plays.
Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis. It was leaked before they even left the locker room, which is really disappointing, right? Because you know, you got these guys that are buddies with these players and vice versa, always going to share positive light. And these players, they're smart. They're thinking, hey, man, if I can get buddy-buddy with this one guy, I don't have to worry about these non-positive things being said. So that's kind of the feel I've got from XM86, which is pretty interesting. But my bigger deal, I want to talk about, Pacers, obviously, in their run. And I'll admit, I'm going to admit it to you again, Jonathan. Hey, man, I was wrong about the NCAA tournament. I still don't like it. However, I remember I said it was a gadget, right? I like the way the Pacers played, obviously. The breakdown was good.
I think people assume that it's a gadget to fix the basketball problem. No, it's the problem. Like, they're trying to get the viewership to come over. Like, y'all, that Monday night, Thursday night football y'all watching is trash.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Where's the last – I mean, it hasn't been good.
But to that point, right? You know, I felt it was a gadget, but the gadget worked. You know, the way it ended. Of course, I think the NBA loved the fact that it was the Lakers, and that's fine. Whatever. They outplayed the Pacers. They beat them fair and square. But to your point, Brandon, they learned a lot, and I think they're going to take it into the second half of the season. The way they handled Detroit after that first quarter, they were completely in control of that game. There was no doubt. I know the game got a little tighter than that. That into that second quarter, but as I'm watching the game, I never felt that the Pacers were threatened to lose that game, which I was really happy about with that. The other thing I know we had talked about, we were chatting up and everything. We talked about possible trades, and I know I mentioned it earlier, but you know what we lack is toughness, right? You know, and I think everybody would agree with that, defensive toughness.
Mm-hmm.
And if PJ Tucker, who's got this year and next year $11 million, he's not the player he was 5 years ago. But he's got a tough mindset. But the bigger thing I didn't realize, like as I said the other day, that my guy from Detroit, Isaiah Stewart, after this year, he's making $4 million this year. The next 4 years, he's at $15 million. Listen, man, they're going nowhere fast. And we've got contracts that are dicey right now. And I really believe something along those lines can make it happen. You know what that dude's name, his nickname is, Isaiah Stewart's nickname is? I think it's calling, they call him Pot Roast. Because I forget who the, I was watching, not the Pacer broadcast, they call him Pot Roast because he's tough on everybody or something like that.
Well, he's crazy, too. He went after everybody when he got...
Yeah. LeBron, yeah. Man, I'm okay with... We don't have any toughness. We're a finesse team.
I'm not... Listen, man. When you say PJ Tucker, that's like something you can get without trading the first round. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you can say PJ Tucker swapped from McConnell or, you know what I'm saying, some other bench player. I can see that happening.
Because McConnell's making
go for the gold, man. Go for the
Miguel Bridges. Let's go.
He's got 2 years left after this year, right? But is he wanting to be in the big stage? You got
to
find that out.
They'd have to trade the kid they just got from Houston. You know what I'm saying? Him and probably some other
Jairus Walker.
They probably trade Jairus Walker and probably another shooter, I don't know. It'd probably be
maybe Neesmith.
Is it
possible?
For sure, too.
I was gonna say Neesmith at 11. Walker's at like 4.5. Then you got another because that's at $23 million, 4, 11. Yeah, and another $9 million player.
And it probably be
come within the 80%.
And they probably had to give up like a first rounder or something like that. So, breaking news,
here we go.
Breaking news:
Draymond Green suspended indefinitely. No timetable on a return.
Indefinitely.
Yeah. I'm good with that. I said the rest of the season personally, and it better be at least 20. It better be at least 20. Good for him.
It's probably gonna be
bully.
It's over. It's good
for him. Hey, it's just like what they did to my boys back in 2004. Don't get me started. Get me off the rails. But back to the Pacers. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna put some trade comparisons online and see what's what. Mm-hmm. Because again, I really believe the Pacers are gonna make a move before the trade deadline.
You think so?
There's a log jam and players that are very there's such a log jam. And if you look at that roster, you got a bunch of really, really nice guys. And that's all I get. They're a bunch of nice guys. But as Deion Sanders says, we want that dog, right? And right now, the dog isn't on the roster. Well, the dog is McConnell. He's not McConnell can't be your best dog, right?
You got to be calling. Stop calling that dude Matryhard, man. We got some calls back in the front office, man.
Hey,
you can't call
him
Matryhard, man.
I like the way he played, though, in the tournament. I give the devil his due, man. I love that. But I'm just really curious, man, on what you all, the lean that you all are thinking about for the second half of the Pacers. I know we've been talking about it with the trade-wise and that type of thing. But where we are now, we're a 40-43 win team. I don't think, you know, I think we're an eighth seed, seventh or eighth seed in that neighborhood. I want to make real noise, right? I don't want to just get to the playoffs and lose 4-1. 4-2. I want them to put some pressure on whomever they're playing, and I just don't know that the way that the roster is constructed right now, and the way the Eastern Conference is, that's something that's going to be.
We lost John. I don't know what John was talking, and we lost him. While we're waiting for John to call back in.
Maybe it's me.
I know. While we're waiting for John to get back in, DK, I put on Twitter, I got Alabama's new quarterback next year.
Don't say the kid from Texas.
Malik Murphy.
No. Hey, listen,
come on, man.
I just posted too. Hey, listen, Malik Murphy has all my love. I seen that dude play. Listen, I'm going to tell you this, right, and I'm not down there. There was definitely a conversation with Murphy and Stark about next year. He said, listen, coach, I got to make a decision here. I need to know where I stand because you got the bloodline behind him. And I'm telling you now, Malik Murphy played his way into an opportunity if Ewers left to be the lead guy. That's the deal on that one, though, Brandon. There's no way he's putting himself in the portal from Texas, the type of kid he is, a supposedly strong family, right? Strong family background. You saw him play those two games, and you're going to tell me he's just going to put his name in the portal before the national semifinals? That's a conversation that was had. To listen, I'm looking in the eye. The bloodline starting next year at Ewers leaves. It had to be, man. It had to be. And that's unfortunate. I love the way he plays, but realistically, Miro has two more years. We Bama doesn't need him.
Bama doesn't need him. JB, you here?
Yes, sir.
I'm back, man. I'm back,
Hey, man, I'm going to start to think it's me. I'm going to start thinking it's me, man.
D-Kai, we got to stop talking about the SEC network, man. Every time I start talking about SEC, they take me out, man.
Yeah, John's got a new phone number he's calling from on this. I was confused.
I had to go to my Wayne phone. I had to go to my Bruce Wayne phone, man.
That's the SEC, man. That's the burner we talked about?
Man, tell the deep state down there in Alabama and Arkansas, man. Hey, man. They 11-1. They got in the bowl. I'm not with the Sanders. I'm not with the AAG. The Florida AAG.
It's gonna be a great New Year's Day. It's gonna be a great New Year's Day, man. You get an opportunity to see Texas against Washington, two high power offenses. I mean, you got the grit of Michigan versus Alabama, and an up and coming quarterback. Hey, man, you can't ask for much more than that, man. I love it.
The Draymond Green. There's more information that he will be required to meet certain league and team conditions before he is allowed to return to play.
Wow.
I didn't go into details.
Anger
management.
Because at the end of the day, I want to see how many games. We can do this indefinite all the hell we want. Indefinite can turn into seven. Real here. We've seen that before. It needs to be minimum of 20. The way he went at that dude, you know who he reminded me of? And you guys are wrestling fans, so y'all with me. Did he not look like The Rock when he does his punch, when he spins and punches? Think about it. If you go back and look at the video, he looked like The Rock.
D-Cop, last thing I have for you. Hey, man, what happened down in Atlanta on Saturday?
Oh, my goodness. They kept on shooting and hitting buckets. Auburn did.
What happened?
Oh, man, Lord have mercy. Up 24-12, right, when I came in. I'm going to tell you simply as this. Indiana got punked. I thought we talked about it. They got punked. They were out punked. That guard, he had
a lot of shots.
For Auburn.
That dude hit a lot of shots.
No, I understand that. But he verbally beat our guards down and made them believe that they were subpar. All of them were talking. They didn't have the mental toughness. My man CJ looked like crap. You know, and I love the kid to death, right? CJ looked like crap. We've got big, but they're not.
They don't have weight behind them. Yeah, where
they
play
they don't
that
have
great
weight.
Either, but yeah,
mm-hmm. But yeah, it was very disappointing, man. You know, you get out to a hot shooting start. The problem is you can't sustain that with the roster they've got, right? You can't sustain it. And then that guard. And again, I don't remember his name. I just remember him. Just being in our faces every opportunity, and the pressure they put on us, it really had them rattled. They didn't go full court; they just made them work, and you could see it. You could see them wearing down mentally, and it was a clinic that Bruce Pearl put on Woodson. And y'all know what I think about Woodson. He gave
got to pick one Saturday against Kansas.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. He clinicked. He gave him a clinic, man. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Proud of the way they you know, our bigs wanted to fight, but they just didn't have the gas, man. And I give all the credit to Auburn. And then the flip side of that, the Bama Purdue game. Oh man, I look forward to seeing something like that in the Sweet 16 or Final Eight, man. I would love to see that again.
Well, hey, Purdue,
that was a great. I watched that whole game on my dual screen.
Yes.
Say it again.
Purdue weathered the storm that day. That's the game they could have faded, and they weathered the storm and came out on top.
And I know I've been on the kids from Westfield because he's kind of cocky and arrogant, but he balled his ass out in the second half, man. Give him all the credit in the world too. Yeah, because he if not for those big shots he hit, I don't know that Purdue wins that game, man. He had a stretch about Brandon, you can correct me, about 4 or 5 minutes. Where you hit about 3 or 4 buckets, man, big ones after big ones after big ones. So, Well, yeah, Brandon Miller. Brandon Wilson, isn't it? Brandon something.
Brayden Smith.
Yeah. So, I hate giving Purdue credit in any way, but you got to give the devil his due, man. You got to give him his credit. Just like
well,
I don't ever knock Mike Wilson.
D-Cott, we can all agree that why is Notre Dame going after Duke's quarterback? We can all agree.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you why. Because the kid that they were so hot on my man is the LSU was hot on. They wanted him to reclassify. He's changed his mind. I forget his name. He changed his mind. I think he opened up his recruiting again, and he's not a lock to be there now. They wanted him to reclassify last season, and he declined to reclassify. That's when they went after the kid from North Carolina. Hey, Notre Dame's in shambles, and what's happening right now is I'm talking to some of my recruiting guys that love recruiting. Hey, they're getting killed on the fact that their coach won't be there for the next 2 years. They're getting negatively recruited in every way, shape, or form. And it would not surprise me. Not only do they lose that kid, I forget that kid's name, golly, but the other kid he's from California that's pretty good too. Neither one of those guys are going. I'm telling you, that negative recruiting. Say again.
The kid from Cathedral opened up his recruiting. He was going to Bloomington, man. They don't want him, I guess.
Now he's going out west.
Yeah, man. The negative recruiting is real. And I hate it for the Notre Dame coach, man, but he seems like a good dude and everything like that.
Right.
But
9-3 in Notre Dame will get you fired. 9-3 in Notre Dame in successive seasons will get you fired, for real.
He's got 2 years, bro. He's got 2 years. If he doesn't go double-digit wins this coming season, and of course, beat all his rivals, he'll probably be done after next year. And that's unfortunate. Because everything I hear about that dude from my guy Lee is that he's a really, really, really good dude, man. A real class act.
Yeah, but you got to get the quarterback.
And that's all the problem, though, right? Because with the negative recruiting, that happens. But anyway, I know you guys got to go. Appreciate the show for sure, as always, fellas. I'll be chatting with you guys online, and hopefully this Draymond thing lasts at least 20 games.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir. John, a little bit more from Adrian Wojnarowski. Draymond Green, the Warriors GM, Mike Dunleavy Jr., and his agent, Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, are expected to meet Thursday to start discussing a, quote, path of counseling and help for Draymond to move forward. The league didn't want to put a specific number on the games on the suspension, but allow Green to take the time he needs to deal with the challenges he's facing.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Like, my man just needs to take some time away from basketball, man. All those games, and then media commitments. I'm not making no excuse for Draymond. Like, again, the NBA cares about his players. So they're going to try to find, you know, say a path for Draymond to get some help, man, because you can't have Draymond Green just wantonly going out here swinging on guys or, you know what I'm saying, turning their courts into, like, you know what I'm saying, UFC fights.
John, Ohtani, $700 million to go to the Dodgers.
Big money, man.
10 years.
Big money, man.
He's only going to take a $2 million salary, though, per year to allow the Dodgers to keep spending.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful, Brandon. I know, and I know it sounds like, you know, he's cutting the line, but think about it, y'all. He's been MVP like the last two seasons running, right? If you watch baseball, this dude can hit it with anybody. I mean, you talk about getting 30 to 40 home runs, like that can happen, right? You talk about, you know what I'm saying, ERA under, you know what I'm saying, what would be the ERA for him? Shame on me, my phone's been crashed on me, so I'm on my backup phone. I don't have information. But, like, again, he's the real deal, either pitching or hitting, y'all. Look up the numbers. That's the reason why they gave him $700 million. Even if it's deferred, it's still $777 million. This is crazy. But then he goes joining on with the team that's got, you know what I'm saying, even more stars in the Los Angeles Dodgers, man. And Mookie Betts, they just gave some more money too. And like, there's rumor about them the Dodgers trying to get another player from Korea to kind of come over. You know what I'm saying? An up and comer, man. So,
John, he would be making more in 1 year himself than the entire Cincinnati Reds payroll for the year.
What, Brandon, in these major market teams in baseball, and really in all baseball, man, you can spend the money. It's just how smartly can you spend the money? Look at it, Brandon. Does it make sense for him? He was either going to the Yankees or the Dodgers, right? Based on his star quality, he played how many years with Stroud and with the Angels? They didn't win anything. Not like they won games, but they didn't you know what I'm saying? They didn't, you know, significantly win anything. Playoff games, definitely not a World Series. So this is just a move, going to the Dodgers. You put all that with those other stars that they already have. I get it. The Dodgers are how many years, 2 years, 3 years away from moving from the World Series. This increases their odds of getting back there. Having Shohei Ohtani increases their odds of getting back there.
Can I ask you, do you think there is a world where, and this is off topic, this is back to basketball, just because I'm seeing stuff I'm reading on Twitter as we're talking.
No, it's all good. Mm-hmm.
Do you see a world where Steph Curry could request a trade out of Golden State with just all the crap that's happening, how the team's starting to decline, they're not getting the pieces they would need in there to win, that Steph would ask for a trade?
That'd be crazy, man, because the narrative is that he is the greatest point guard of all time. And, like, can't you weather this storm, leader? I would expect Steph Curry to weather the storm. But, like, him joining forces? Nah, I couldn't see it. He's going to be a Golden State Warrior. Just like Tim Duncan was Spurs forever, you know what I'm saying? Reggie Miller was a Pacer forever. I can't see that happening. These other – like, Brandon, when's the last time Andrew Wiggins has played a significant – basketball game, step up. That's what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? The Moody's of the world, they ain't rookies no more. They ain't even second-year players no more. They have to step up. I get it, Draymond Green's a big part of that season. Like, this is a big distraction, and I get it. There's the other guy over there, Klay Thompson. You know what I'm saying? It seems like it's going to walk away, but, like, these other players they got on the team, they haven't stepped up. And, like, this is a team that everybody said that and they lauded Golden State for having great personnel development. Well, they're going to have to step up, and Clay, and you know, Clay too, as a leader. Like, go out on top, man. You know, if you're struggling, then you got to get these kids, you know what I'm saying, ready to, you know what I'm saying, and even, you know what I'm saying, Curry, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
But I don't know, Brandon. I don't think they're looking at a play-in type of situation unless those young guys can step up. And
a couple news and notes. They're
going to be on sideline.
A couple news and notes, John. I think we do need to give the respect to the Indiana Fever that they've got the number one pick in the draft again. They got Leia Boston last year. This year they got the number one pick. Caitlin Clark. We might be having our female version of Reggie Miller here coming up soon in April.
Leia, dude. I mean, it's kind of a win-win. If you want to, like,
it's either her or Paige Breckers. I'll take either one.
Man, I think it's the kid from Iowa, man. We've seen they saw what she did last year, tore it up in the Big Ten tournament and in the NCAA tournament. Why wouldn't you want that down, you know what I'm saying, in Gingrich?
Yeah, absolutely. Also breaking news, Ohio State transfer quarterback Kyle McCord is moving on from Nebraska. Nebraska was supposed to be a landing spot for McCord. But he is going to keep his transfer portal recruitment open. So he is not going to Nebraska.
Brandon, when Matt Rhule said you need – what he said you need 2 men, everybody said, oh, that he didn't mean for you. Tom McCord ain't getting no $2 million. That's why
– What you think, man? What you think? Dylan Gabriel going out to go to Oregon. There's a lot of quarterbacks moving around, man.
Well
– is it a problem with college football?
Tough thing about though, Brandon, yeah. Some of them move around because there might be a direct link to what's going on in Oregon to help a guy like Bo Nix get into the NFL. Remember, he was in Auburn, everybody. And, like, they didn't say it wasn't going to work out. And I get it. They had a change in coach staff and all that. And he goes out to Oregon and he gets invited to, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. If they win the game against Washington, if they split the season with Washington, he probably wins the Heisman. That's the truth. If they split the season to Auburn, shoot the season with Washington, he probably wins the Heisman and not necessarily Jaden Daniels. You know what I'm saying? Because Jaden Daniels didn't have the wins. Jaden Daniels just had the stats, y'all. He didn't have the wins. But, like, no, man, guys are trying to get to the NFL, too. So there's that. I don't necessarily think it's just all NIL money. You know what I mean? It's part of that, but I don't think that's – because with the kid that's leaving Oklahoma, like, he ain't got no choice. Like, Oklahoma's probably – they got a kid probably coming in that's going to be better than him. But so that's why he's transferring. to where did he transfer? Where did the kid from Oklahoma transfer? I can't even remember where he it hasn't been determined yet. But Brandon, he's five, dude. The NFL knows what he is. He's 5 foot 11. If they knew what he was when he was at UCF, and they knew what he is at Oklahoma, why not go pro? You know why he can't go pro? Because he's a college quarterback. But he's gonna try. He's gonna try to get to the next level, and maybe Oregon can shape that up for him.
Breaking news: T.J. Watt has now officially been cleared from the protocol. He will play Saturday at Indianapolis.
All right, there you go, man.
So perfect.
It's gonna be a wrecking up kind of game, man. Close.
Yeah, it's gonna be busy downtown, man. The Indy Classic is sold out. You got Ball State versus Indiana State in game one.
Yep.
And then Purdue, Arizona afterwards, and you got the Steeler game at the same time. It's day one of vacation for me. So
there you go.
It's gonna be fun. With that being said, there will be no show next week because I will be gone. I will be in Nashville, Tennessee next week. With the wife celebrating our a little early, our anniversary. So well, maybe, John, we'll do a Facebook thing on Monday night, maybe. Possibly do Facebook on Monday just for like 20, 30 minutes or so, just to kind of go over a few things. I'm still trying to figure that out because I might be going Pacers take on the Clippers, so I might be seeing Paul George back here in Indianapolis on Monday.
Uh-oh.
So, that way I can yell at Slim Harden a little bit. Big Harden.
He ain't going to be there either. don't yell at Westbrook. Do not yell at Westbrook.
He's too fucking crazy. I ain't going to yell at him. I'll yell at the other ones. I'll give I've got a Five Guys coupon to give to Harden and get those burgers. So
Five Guys, Steak and Shake, all of them.
Oh, man. Hey, shout out Lance Stevenson. Back in the D League.
Got signed up. Bucks, congratulations.
Right? Yeah, yep. Maybe he'll get back into. Yeah. Does he have anything left in him? I don't know. I wouldn't think so, but we'll see. Anything left? I have good promo the other night on Monday Night Raw with Rollins and Punk. I thought that was good. Prepping that feud for later on. Your tribal chief, he shows back up this Friday night. I think you're going to get – I think Royal Rumble, you'll have Orton versus Reigns for the title. I tell you this, John, Royal Rumble coming up, I don't know who wins because Cody needs to finish his story. Punk
right.
wants the main event, WrestleMania himself. I think it's Punk because I don't see them doing back-to-back Cody winning back-to-back Rumbles. I think
he has to win an elimination –
maybe he wins an elimination chamber match to get his title shot at Mania. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Right, because they got them other specialty matches. And yeah, you got to be a special guy to win Royal Rumble or even King of Ring back to back. And like I said, there's only a handful of guys that's done that. I haven't really necessarily tapped into all the drama of both my either company, whether it was AEW or WWE. I know things are kind of going in a positive direction for sure.
Yeah.
With WWE, you know what I'm saying, for sure.
Or Strickland and AEW, that's my guy.
Yeah, man, yeah, you like that, man. But like, nah, man.
I'll do the dance, John, I'll do it.
Nah, please don't.
What else I have? I've got something else. Oh, John Rahm going to live, that coward. But he's smart, I'd take your money while you can now, before the merger. Get your money now.
Right, take your money now before they say this is, you know what I'm saying, that's going to be a little less of a number.
Best Buy offered me, I'd go back for $700 mil before they shut
course,
the doors.
We all would, maybe, that, but man, yeah, it's probably going to shut the doors, man. Hope not, man.
Perfect. John, I don't have anything else. If you do, I mean, obviously I want to thank our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick Custom Motorsports, too. We wouldn't be doing these shows without you guys. Looking forward to a great 2024 year coming up. We're going to have our next show, folks, official show, which will be the week after, a couple days after Christmas. Tanner will be back on. We'll be doing our college football pick'em for bowls. We're going to do the bowl games from the December 27th edition on.
Mm-hmm.
just because there's 50 other Bulls and those don't matter, and you got people opting out, so it's confusing this house. So we're not going to worry about that. I'm on vacation next week, so we're taking a week off, but we'll do a Facebook Live, Instagram, whatnot. We'll do that. Myself and John will take your questions, calls, or questions on there. Facebook, continue the conversation. Twitter will continue the conversation. I'm going to promise I'm going to get more TikTok going for Crossroads Sports, the account. I'm going to get more TikTok going, more things on there. We're going to get that diving up as well. That way we can go live on there as well. We have to get so many subscribers so we can go live there. So if you're on TikTok, please subscribe to the Crossroads Sports channel. That way we can get that up and going. John, I don't have anything else, my man, if you want to do our thing.
I think we covered everything. We covered boxing. We covered football. We covered baseball. We covered basketball, man. We even covered even a little professional wrestling, man. Crossroads Sports, man, we're going to do it bigger and better ever. We are. We did it this today. Next year, not next week, next year. But, like, no, man, today, man, we had it was great to tap in with all the folks who chimed in on the Facebook Live. It was great to kind of tap in with D. Costa Vegan. It's always great to tap in with the brother Justin Fox from the Epic Podcast. And again, like Brandon said, man, we want to thank our sponsors, Scott K. Nicholas, State Farm Insurance, and Maverick Custom Motor Sports. How can we do the show? Crossroads Sports without them. Man, I don't have anything else other than don't y'all believe in until it happens what happens, man. Bill Belichick ain't fired just yet, y'all, but it's probably getting ready. He's probably not going to get invited back to Foxborough next season, man. But outside of that, man, we want to wish everybody a happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Until next time, man. I'm Jonathan Burson. That's Brandon Reeve. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.